Did you know that Slinkies are 82 feet long if you stretch them out? It's an interesting factoid, but is it really worth knowing? Hi, I'm Rob West. The world is full of useless information. Some of it's fun to learn, but it won't help you reach your goals, especially your investing goals. So today I'll talk with Mark Biller about some things that are worth knowing, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Mark Biller is our guest again today. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, where they know a lot of stuff, and I guess I would say all of it is useful. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. I don't know about all of it, but hopefully at least some of it.
Absolutely. By the way, did you know that Slinkies are 82 feet long?
I did not know that.
Okay. Nope. Well, you have something you can share with your kids when you get home tonight. The whole point here is that not all information is worth knowing, but you have an article in the latest SMI newsletter called Things Worth Knowing, and that's what we want to find out about today. So, Mark, where do we begin?
Yeah, well, Rob, it really starts with a question that we've often asked to open conversations with potential new investors over the last 30 years. And that question is, what is the number one financial mistake that a lot of Christians make? In our opinion, the answer is that they ignore biblical wisdom when they're managing their money and they follow secular advice instead. Unfortunately, a lot of that secular advice, you know, the things you hear on financial shows and so forth, is relatively useless information. And sometimes it's even worse than useless because it can actually cause you to make mistakes with your investing. So SMI has long taught that if you use God's protective biblical principles as your guide, you're going to manage your money more wisely and prudently and glorify God at the same time.
Well, I totally agree, and that's, of course, a big part of what SMI and FaithFi have in common. You have a story in this article regarding SMI founder Austin Pryor that he unpacks a bit more about this. Share that with us.
Yeah, so SMI's founder, Austin Pryor, he came by this knowledge the hard way, and the story just tells about how from the early 70s through the mid-80s, he was relying on his own skills and intellect for making his financial and investing decisions. He tells about some of the success, but also a lot of the failures of relying on himself and relying on his own wisdom, if you will. And then in the late 80s, Austin turned to the teachings of his longtime friend Larry Burkett, who a lot of your listeners were very familiar with.
Sure.
As Larry had, you know, become a leading voice on the importance of Christians applying biblical wisdom to managing their finances. So long story short, as Austin got in sync with God's ways instead of his own wisdom, that really laid the foundation for his future financial success. And that experience from 30-plus years ago still influences the way that we publish content at SMI today.
Yeah, that's powerful. So how do you determine what investors really need to know, Mark?
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, we do a ton of financial reading here at SMI, and we're constantly asking ourselves, is this something our members should be aware of? Is this really worth knowing? You know, there's so much constantly being written and discussed about the economy and the market, specific investment choices. And of course, we do comment on all of these things to a certain extent, but we try to never lose sight of our purpose. And we view SMI as a discipling tool with a special focus that comes right out of Ephesians 4, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and become mature. So within our little personal finance and investing niche, that means learning to set financial priorities that honor God and point to the attainment of God-given goals. And given that, the things that are really worth knowing and the things that we try to emphasize at SMI are first and foremost going to be rooted in God's Word.
That's powerful. Well, we're going to continue to unpack this as we talk to Mark Biller today. We'll be discussing the value of finding a solid Christian advisor to help you. Mark will unpack some of the scripture passages that really are key there at SMI as they think about investing, and what can someone expect, like you, an investor, if you apply these principles to your own investing. We've got some phone lines today, specifically in this portion of the broadcast, investing related questions for Mark Biller, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Luke 5:4 tells the story of how Jesus asked Simon, who we call Peter, to put out his nets into deeper water and catch some fish. He'd already been fishing all night and caught nothing, but he obeyed. Christ reminds us here that sometimes he asks us to do things that seem impossible, illogical. It doesn't make sense. Like Peter, we've already tried and failed on our own. But when we invite Jesus into our lives and follow him, we can experience his power and grace in ways we never thought possible. So we turn to him and trust in him, even when it doesn't make sense. He's the one who can fill our nets with his everlasting grace. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Mark Biller with me today, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're taking your investing-related questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Joshua and Fred will be coming your way in just a moment as we weigh in on your questions, and we'll have Mark Biller along today to help weigh in on those questions as well. Today, though, we're talking about things worth knowing when it comes to investing, and especially investing in light of a biblical worldview. And speaking of that, Mark, what are some of those key verses that help you decide what information is important and worth knowing as you think through the content you all are preparing at SMI?
Yeah, well, the first one, Rob, would be from 2 Timothy 3:16, which tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we think that the starting point is looking primarily to God's wisdom, which is found in His Word, rather than the world's conventional wisdom for the principles that we need to guide our financial decision-making.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the principles that God has given us in Scripture are, of course, practical and relevant. What would be another key passage?
Well, 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us, now it's required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. So it's worth knowing that each of us has to take personal responsibility for making knowledgeable, biblically consistent financial decisions. Yeah. Now, if we don't know how to do that, we need to get help, whether that's from a service like SMI or, like you mentioned earlier, finding an advisor who can assist us. But even if we do that, ultimately we need to recognize that we are still responsible for our financial decisions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, faithfulness over a long time, obedience to God's word is really our goal. After we surrender our lives to Jesus, it's all about stewardship of what he's entrusted to us. All right, we're going to continue this conversation with Mark, but let's get a few of your calls into the mix here today. We've got a few lines open at 800-525-7000 for this portion of the broadcast related to your investing questions, the economy, the market, how you navigate the volatility, your asset allocation, whatever that might be. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Pennsylvania. Fred, go right ahead, sir.
Well, good morning. I thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm not a big investor. I don't understand a lot of investments. I have a someone that I pay to do that for me, financial advisor. I don't have.
Sure.
But right now, with the concerns of the value of the dollar, with other countries looking to, that's going to play a big part in the devaluing of our dollar. Does it make sense to buy gold? And is it, I really just learned about gold mutuals. Is that something that's worth looking into?
Yeah, Mark, your thoughts on both items, just kind of the state of the economy and the U.S. dollar, the desirability of owning gold and your portfolio, and then how to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Fred, a few things there. One, you know, the whole dollar issue is definitely one that gets a lot of attention, and a lot of times it is given attention, particularly by people who are interested in gold or are selling gold and gold-type products. Because it is kind of a scary thing, and it's kind of hard to for anybody to say definitively this will happen or this won't happen. The thing that I would encourage listeners with in this regard is that a lot of the information around the dollar and dollar devaluation in particular strikes me as being very fear-based. And unfortunately, a lot of marketing is based on appealing to people's fear or greed. Those are the two primary emotions that button pushers are trying to press. And the dollar story is one that really can get us feeling fearful. The thing I would encourage people with is, as you look around the world, with the state of the world, all the geopolitical questions and so forth, if you were a person with money to invest, is there really any place else in the world today that you would prefer to send your money to take risk with as an investment than the United States? Now, granted, we've got plenty of problems here. We're all familiar with the warts that the U.S. has, but nonetheless, we're resource-rich. We have the world's largest economy. We're protected on both sides by giant oceans, so there's really no direct military threat. We have the rule of law, even though some, you know, we get frustrated with things that we see in the news and things that are happening. The big point, Fred, is just that the world's cleanest dirty shirt is still by far the United States. And what we see is that even in periods during the last few years when we've had inflation issues, all the geopolitical stress, the dollar has actually gone up against all the other world's currencies. It hasn't gone down. It's not that people have been fleeing the dollar because of all of these concerns. It's actually been a case that people have been flooding into dollars, pressing the value up. So I would not take a lot of investment decisions based out of fear about what's going to happen to the dollar, because it's always a question of the dollar relative to something else. And it's that something else that's really lacking. I don't think most people want to go into Chinese yuan. I don't think most people really want to go into euros with the situation in Europe right now. And so there just aren't a lot of great alternatives. Now, that said, I do think there's a place in a portfolio for gold. We've been overweight our normal position in gold now for over a year. And I think that that is an attractive investment, but less about the dollar devaluing relative to other global currencies, and more about really central bank insurance and Federal Reserve insurance, and the chances that as these policy decisions are made here that influence both inflation and, as you mentioned, the value of the dollar, that gold does give you a little bit of a safety net, a safety reserve against bad decision-making, really, in the government and the central bank decisions. But I would encourage people to not go wild with that. I think that for most people, an allocation of maybe 5, maybe up to 10% of their portfolio in gold is probably plenty, because there are long stretches, and we don't have to look back very far. You know, in 2020, everyone was sure gold was going to go to the moon because of the inflation that was just kicking off. And instead, we had the better part of 2 years where gold actually declined from a high over 2,000 all the way down to $1,600. Now, it's come back lately, and that's why we think there's a place for it in a portfolio. But I wouldn't go wild with that. And Fred, I wouldn't be overly fearful about the dollar and these changes. You know, these tend to be very long, prolonged swings, not overnight type changes in currency valuations. Rob, I just said a lot there. Anything you want to add?
Well, it was very well said, Mark, and I think you bring some really healthy perspective just to where we find ourselves and this idea of the U.S. versus the rest of the world. Even though we have plenty of problems here, we always have to grade against everyone else, and I think that's the key. Fred, thanks for your call. After the break, I'll get Mark to weigh in on mutual funds versus holding gold directly, and Joshua coming your way as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman,
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, Mark Biller. We're talking about your investing-related questions. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. We're also unpacking a new article at SMI. That's soundmindinvesting.org that I'd love for you to check out. It's really focused on things worth knowing, and we always want to know the things that we should, and of course, those come from Scripture, and that's really the foundation for everything that is done at Sound Mind Investing. Mark, before we take Joshua's call there in Georgia, one other follow-up question on our previous caller. What are your thoughts on investing directly in gold, actually taking physical possession versus maybe a tracking ETF or a mutual fund?
Yeah, I think that some of that, Rob, comes down to your motivation and your goals in terms of investing in gold. A lot of people who are investing in gold really are wanting it as kind of like worst-case scenario insurance. They want to have that on hand if things ever really got bad for, you know, barter or those types of situations. And if that's the case, then obviously an ETF or a gold mutual fund isn't going to be of a whole lot of help in that situation. So that puts you into the physical gold camp. The two big drawbacks with physical gold are, of course, if you have it in any size, you've got a storage problem. You don't want to have a whole lot of gold in your house because, of course, you don't want to make yourself a target. And right. Then if you're putting it in a bank, you know, lockbox, you know, security box or whatever, then you have the same question of could I get to it in an emergency? Yeah. So that can be a little tricky. And it's also, you know, you usually lose a lot in fees to buy and sell physical gold. So I tend to look at the physical gold piece of somebody's holdings as more of a probably a forever holding. This is something you hope to never have to sell. Maybe you're passing on, you know, a coin or two to your kids or grandkids, that sort of thing. So I would lean, Rob, towards the relatively small physical allocation along those lines. And then beyond that, that's where I think like the gold ETFs, GLD, PHYS, items like those are tickers of gold ETFs that you can buy and sell. That's where those really come in handy. We actually use some of those gold ETFs in one of our strategies where we are adjusting the amount of gold exposure we have. So I mentioned earlier, we've been pretty heavily overweight gold now over the last year, but there will come a day where our signals will say we need to lighten up, and that's where those ETFs are really handy because we can adjust our exposure just as easily as buying or selling any other stock or mutual fund. So there's a little bit on the, yeah, the interplay between the physical versus the paper gold, the trading gold, if you will.
One follow-up on those ETFs, those tracking ETFs for any precious metal. Let's take one like GLD that tracks the price, yeah, of gold. Is there real gold backing those, and how closely do they actually track the movement of the precious metal?
Yeah, in my experience, they do track it quite closely. They do a good job with that. Now, from the very beginning, the very first days of the GLD ETF, there have been questions and rumors, you know, circulating around, is all of the gold that supposedly backs these ETFs really there? In theory, those ETFs are backed by physical gold 100%. But, you know, there are always going to be questions. And again, it's always hard to know because the gold industry in particular is super prone to conspiracy theory. And a lot of product is sold along those lines. So anybody who's trying to sell something other than these gold ETFs is, of course, going to play up the questions about the actual gold. One of the ones that I mentioned just a moment ago, PHYS, we've actually liked that one just a tick better than GLD lately because we have a little bit more confidence in the claims of the actual physical gold being there. But Rob, I don't have anything concrete or to suggest that GLD does not have the gold that they say they do. And they are being audited all the time on these, and somebody's signing off on that. So really, there's no good reason to question that that is the case. But there are some things you can do even to take a step or two further with some of the physical gold-specific ETFs that make even more strong claims about their physical gold holdings.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, Mark. That was a really helpful primer on gold, how we should think about it in our portfolios, and the practical side of actually owning it as well. 800-525-7000 with your questions today for Mark Biller, specifically investing-related questions for this portion of the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Joshua, I know you've been holding patiently in Georgia. You have a question about Social Security. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. West. I have SSI and regular Social Security for survivor's benefits because my mom passed away almost 19 years ago. Okay. If we default, Janet Young was talking about Social Security payments could possibly be interrupted. Oh, and by the way, I want to donate, Lord willing, donate some money to your ministry next month. But can either of you tell me if that's true, and it's not just me, it's millions and millions, and that would be worse than the Great Depression if that's true. Thank you for taking my call. And God bless.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Joshua. Thank you for calling. You know, obviously, Social Security checks are vital, not only for the people receiving them, but for the economy as a whole. I think nearly 70 million Americans will receive a monthly Social Security benefit in 2023. And you're right, there's the Social Security benefits, and then there's the SSI as well, which is the needs-based welfare program. If the debt ceiling isn't resolved, it's likely that those payments will still be sent out in June. Those would most likely go out. Remember, there's still the trust fund and other revenues there. If it extends, though, beyond June, the practical reality is the Treasury may not have the staff available to make the July Social Security payment. So that's why it's pretty important that this impasse get resolved. I think, again, a short-term delay on that in June would be okay, but if it extends into July, we're going to have some problems. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Spiritual warfare is a reality that none of us are going to be able to escape.
The scripture reveals that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We must be. But then the Word of God says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So guess what that means? Our munitions supply is not limited to this natural sphere. We're not merely just engaged, we are engaged to win. I like that.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Mark Biller, executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. We're talking today about an article that was published in the SMI newsletter by SMI's founder, Austin Prior. It's called Things Worth Knowing, and it really unpacks the scripture passages that are core to the thinking and the writing and the work that's done at SMI every day. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org and read the article as well. We'll be going back to the phones here in just a moment. We do have a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you today with your investing and economic-related questions. We'd love to chat with you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000. Going back to the article for just a moment, Mark, as we talk about these verses, you know, there are some that really hit on the core tenets of biblical financial stewardship, which, of course, is what we're called to after we surrender our lives to Jesus. So tell us about those.
Yeah, well, I'll rattle off four of those for you, Rob. The first is from Proverbs 22:7. It says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender." So it's worth knowing that debt can be enslaving, and we should avoid it as much as possible. Second one there is Proverbs 21:20. "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Yeah. So this one tells us that maintaining a proper balance between our current spending and our long-term saving is actually a sign of wisdom. Proverbs 21:5 tells us the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. So this one tells us we should consistently invest from a carefully considered long-term plan instead of making our decisions more impulsively on a case-by-case basis. And the last one here, probably familiar to a lot of listeners, is Ecclesiastes 11:2. "Divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth." So this is the big diversification verse, and this tells us that rather than being preoccupied with the market, what it's doing, and trying to time the market as a means of controlling risk and protecting our capital, that diversification really ought to play the primary role there.
Yeah. And it reminds us that the best that Wall Street has to offer really has its roots in biblical wisdom, if we look very closely at it. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 to Tennessee. Hi, Susan. How can we help you?
Well, hello. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
My husband and I married in 95, so we'll celebrate our 28th anniversary this year. And he's been a coin collector since before we married. And we've been in the military. Bob fully retired from the Army. I served in the Navy as a naval officer, dentist.
Wow.
And so we're doing pretty good financially. He is working full time. When you retire in your early 40s, and then you have to go out and get a real job.
Yeah.
And so my question is, how long should we hold on to the coins?
Hmm. Yeah, question, Susan. Give me a sense of your overall financial picture. I assume your bills are covered through your military retirement. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. We own our own home.
Okay.
We need to replace. We have two cars, and one is a Honda Odyssey that is probably 10 years old, and our Ford Focus just transmission problem. So, you know, we replaced an air conditioner home last year, and now dishwasher went out. So we have bills that need to be paid, and when things happen.
Okay.
But I think we have 3 months' income saved.
Great. And what about other investable assets beyond the coins?
Other than our home?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So really what you have is this 3 months worth of emergency fund. You've got your bills covered and perhaps a little bit of surplus through the military retirement. And then you have these this coin collection. That's about the extent of it, plus your home.
Bob has been really good in, we have Roth IRAs for our golden years.
Okay. And about how much do you have between those two accounts?
Oh, my goodness. Whatever you can fully fund. We've been funding our Roth for maybe 5 or 7 years now.
Okay. So maybe...
each one for him and for me.
So maybe you have $30,000 in each of those or so?
I don't do the finances, but if that's what one can do every year, yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Mark, how should they think about this coin collection?
You know, any type of collectibles, Susan, you know, you're always going to have that tension of whether holding on to the collection during a time when you could use that money for other more practical things is you know, worth doing. And really, it's not any different from any other investment in that particular regard. We're always tempted to take, you know, from tomorrow's resources to pay today's bills, and trying to find that balance and all of the fine work that Rob does here every day, trying to help people figure out the budget side and their spending needs and so forth. That's really where that comes in, to find out, is this a case where we need to sell this collection? You know, collectibles is its own little world, and every single individual collectible really has its own expertise, whether it's coins or stamps or something else. So it's very difficult to say, unless you're very acquainted with that field, if it's a particularly good or bad time for a particular collection or collectible type. You know, it's hard to quantify, because it's hard to know the severity of the need to dip into that. I can understand if you're able to pay the bills, and if you've got the retirement savings elsewhere, wanting to hold on to that collection. And I can also see that if that's not the case and you've got some kind of pressing things, that maybe selling part of that might be appropriate. It's tough to give an outside really hard and fast call on that one, Susan.
Yeah.
Rob, what would your take be on that?
I would agree. I think the key is to look at kind of how you're positioned for the long term. I love the fact that you have those Roth IRAs. I love that you have the military retirement to cover your bills. I think the question is, what other assets are needed for that season of life, if you all need long-term care or something like that? And what value are you sitting on with these coins? If they're purely an investment, then by definition, we'd sell them when it's time to reposition those assets, or when they've accomplished their purpose. If there's an additional kind of, you know, collectible type of approach to this, where this is, you know, part of your husband's hobby or something like that, well, there's another factor to consider. So you could, you know, take a next step by trying to get a value on these. I would direct you to the Numismatic Guarantee Corporation, NGCcoin.com. That's NGCcoin.com. You could go to the professional coin grading service at PCGS. www.americanfamilyrs.com, or you could get a referral at money.org, which is the American Numismatic Association. So I think, first of all, understanding what you have, why you're holding it, what the purpose of it is, and then looking at that in light of your overall financial situation is always going to be the best approach. We appreciate your call, Susan. Thank you to you and your husband for your service to our country. We are incredibly grateful, and we appreciate you being on the program today. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we come back, our final segment with Mark Biller today. Rose in Mississippi coming your way, 800-525-7000. We've got room for a few more questions between now and the end of the program. This is Faith and Finance, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Our generation is on a diet. It's a generation that is famished. We have been starved for truth. We're hungry for hope and thirsty for the God-given message of the Scripture.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Where Do We Go From Here? Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my good friend Mark Biller, executive editor at soundmindinvesting.org. You can check it out. Again, soundmindinvesting.org. SMI is an underwriter of this program. We've got a few lines open here in our final segment. We'd love to hear from you as we round out the program today with your investing and economic related questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Back to the phones. Hi, Rose. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. I purchased a fixer-upper couple of years ago without any knowledge, never purchased a property before. I'm suddenly concerned about a balloon payment that's coming up. I don't know anything about a balloon payment, and I was just told that it's probably a fixed amount, but I want your information on what I'm to expect and how I should be ready when I'm to make that payment.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I appreciate that. So a balloon payment is essentially a lump sum principal balance that's due at the end of a loan term. So typically with a balloon mortgage, the borrower would pay a smaller monthly payment until the balloon payment is due. And those payments, in some cases, are entirely or almost entirely interest on the loan rather than the principal. So really, when it comes due, you've got a couple of options. One is, if you have the cash on hand, of course, you'd pay it off. In many cases, you wouldn't. In fact, in most cases, and typically these mortgages, we would advise against them. Typically, they're used by home flippers that are not planning to own the home, very long, and so they plan to sell it prior to the balloon coming due. Obviously, they're taking a little bit of a risk there in the sense that maybe the market turns down or the reno project takes longer than they think, and so then they're stuck, you know, with this balloon payment. What do you do if you can't make it? Well, you need to do something because the lender will foreclose on you. So I think, number one, the easiest option would be to go back to the existing lender and see if they'll refinance that for you before its termination date. If not, or you're not happy with the terms, then you could go out and refinance on the open market, get quotes from multiple conventional mortgage lenders that could replace this mortgage and allow you to refinance, you know, the current balance to a more conventional loan with as short a term as possible and lock in as low a fixed rate as you can get. And then, of course, the third option is to sell the home and pay it off through the proceeds of the sale. So I think that's really where you need to go from here if you don't have the ability to pay it off. And I could understand if you don't.
Wow, I had no clue of that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Because my payment has been fluctuating. My payment has been fluctuating, at different times. And I'm just... I just wasn't aware of the reason for any of it. Like I said, it's the first time, but I should have been aware of what the purchase process was before I signed my name, and I know that.
Yeah. Well, I would start with that lender, find out what options you have, and, you know, the key would be the reason why you'd go with them, if they'll give you favorable terms, is perhaps they could restructure this loan without a lot of expense. If you go out and get a new mortgage, not only are you going to, you know, have a new mortgage, but you'll have the cost associated with it, which could be, you know, 3 or 4% of the value of the mortgage, maybe 5%. And so there are costs involved to putting a new mortgage in place, which is why we'd want to try to minimize that by refinancing with your current lender. But if you don't get really favorable terms and they're not willing to cut, you know, all or most of the expenses related to restructuring that loan, then I'd go out and get, you know, several other bids to compete for this business and see if we can convert this or refinance into a conventional loan. Our friends at Movement Mortgage could help you. This is an underwriter of Faith and Finance, and they're doing incredible work to serve borrowers across the country, and a portion of their profits are funding incredible kingdom building activities literally all over the globe, including the Movement schools. So to learn more, just go to movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. And you can learn more about another lender, Rose, that could come in and help you refinance this to stay in the home. And you can be sure that these are folks that will be aligned with your values as a believer. Again, one more time, movement.com/faith. Thanks for your call today. Well, here in our final moments of the broadcast, we do have room for one more question, maybe 800-525-7000. Mark, back to the article we've been talking about today that's available at soundmindinvesting.org. It's entitled Things Worth Knowing. There's a verse that you all unpack in that article that has to do with seeking to be rich. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is Proverbs 23:4. It says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint." And this one's important. It tells us that we need to be on guard against greed and spending all of our energies in the attempt to constantly get more, whether that's striving in our careers and our work or being overly focused on the highest possible investment returns. And, you know, I can tell you as a fellow traveler that's sometimes prone to this type of thinking myself, yeah, the wisdom to show restraint is really a phrase that's stuck with me.
Yeah, that's really good. Mark, from your vantage point, what's the difference between being entrusted with wealth and having a goal to pursue wealth for wealth's sake?
Oh, man, that's a good one. That's a good question. You know, I think that it's really easy for us as Americans to think of ourselves as not being the rich person that's being talked about in all of these Bible passages.
Right.
But the reality is that any of us, almost any of us listening today, if we put ourselves on the wealth scale of the whole world, and especially the whole world overall of time, man, we're way far out on that rich guy spectrum. So I think that helps us just to maybe reinterpret a little bit as we're reading the Bible in our quiet times and hearing these scriptures, that these scriptures are talking about us. We've got to really be careful. But to directly to your question, you know, all of us have been entrusted with resources. We need to be good stewards. And I think that that's an appropriate biblical goal, and I don't think we need to be going out and necessarily selling all we have. We need to try and be doing the best we can to manage that according to God's principles and according to His will. And then it's another step when our focus is preoccupied with always more. How do I turn this into more? How do I get more, create more, striving? You know, it's that striving aspect. That's where I think we're really crossing some lines and really need to be careful.
Yeah, that's well said, Mark. Well, as we wrap up today, what could our listeners expect to experience when they follow these principles and passages that you've been unpacking today?
Yeah, it's good news here, Rob. You know, as we renew our minds with these guiding precepts, you can apply them, of course, to help make the day-to-day financial decisions that everyone faces. And as we follow them consistently, we can have confidence that whatever the short-term sacrifices might be, that we're making wise spending, saving, and investing choices. And that really frees us to leave the results with God. Because like 1 Timothy 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I guess, Mark, that might mean that we need to turn down the voice of this world vis-a-vis the 24-hour news cycle and maybe turn up God's voice in our life, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's good advice right there.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we appreciate you being with us, my friend. Thanks for stopping by, as always, and we'll look forward to having you back real soon.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure to be with you.
All righty. That's Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. He's joined us as our guest today. And if you'd like to read this article or learn more at Sound Mind Investing, you can do that at soundmindinvesting.org. You know, folks, as Mark was just sharing, I think there is something to really checking our heart posture as it relates to our role as stewards of God's money and realizing the difference between being entrusted with wealth and pursuing wealth. And I think the key differentiator, and Mark touched on this, is where our hearts are at. And we need to constantly be checking our hearts and our motivation. Mark's made it clear, and I would agree, Scripture supports, it's not wrong, it's not a sin to have wealth. I mean, clearly there was a lot of God-fearing people in the Bible who were entrusted with great wealth. And there were others who had virtually nothing. And so I think the key is being found faithful to what God has entrusted to us. We have no idea why He's provided to us what He has and to someone else what they have. But our goal is faithfulness to the opportunity. Once we surrender our lives to Jesus, it's about stewardship of our time and our relationships and God's word and our talents and skills and abilities that come from Him. And yes, our financial resources, that which He has entrusted to us, because if He owns everything, then we're now the money manager of the King of Kings. Well, what does it look like to be found faithful in that high calling? Well, here on this program each day, we want to help you do that well so you can stand before the Lord someday and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But that means we constantly need to be renewing our minds from God's word. We can't get caught up in the comparison trap, trying to keep up with the Joneses or our brother-in-law or the best version of someone's life on social media. We've got to stay focused on the eternal, cultivating that eternal perspective. And here's one of the secrets to doing that: giving. Generosity breaks the grip of money over our lives. If money is going to dethrone God, or we allow it to dethrone God from first position in our lives, one of the key ways to make sure He's right in His rightful place is to make sure that money doesn't become the object of our affection. Remember, the Bible says you cannot serve both God and money. You must choose this day who you will serve. And we want you to seek first the kingdom and allow money to be a tool to accomplish God's purposes. I hope today's been an encouragement to you as you think about your role in managing God's money. If we can ever do anything to serve you, visit our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Thanks to Pat Montague, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday, and come back and join us next time on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.